Okay, so in my shir we've been discussing Maisa Shabbos recently, which means that if a Jew cooks on Shabbos, there are all sorts of Isurei Hana'a from the food that is cooked. So there is an Isur called Maisa Shabbos. Each time it comes up in the Gemara, the example given is always about a Jew cooking on Shabbos, even though the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, the same applies to every other Malacha. So we pass that the Maisa Shabbos is Asur to get Hana'a from, but the exact extent of the Isur Hana'a is a Machlokas Tanayim. We'll discuss that in a moment. The question I wanted to focus on today is that the Mishnah Berurah sounds like he says that if someone cooks in a pot on Shabbos, that pot is treif, that you're not allowed to use that pot going forward. So I want to discuss whether that is true, that if someone cooks in a pot on Shabbos, this comes up in a number of circumstances. For example, someone asked me, a Shaila, a student has a roommate who is not Torah observant, but out of respect, the roommate respects all the kashrus laws in the apartment, but every once in a while, the roommate might cook something on Shabbos in one of the pots. So now, are all those pots going to be treif for everybody else, knowing that they were used for cooking by a Jew on Shabbos? Someone else mentioned that this somehow happens in the IDF sometimes, where pots and pans are likely used by some non-religious soldiers on Shabbos, even though the kitchen is kosher. Or let's say you have a Jewish-owned gas station, any gas station in Israel that has coffee at the gas station, right? They probably have that in Israel now also. So they're cooking in the coffee machine every Shabbos. So are you allowed to get a coffee at such a place? And perhaps most significantly, a Baal Tshuva lives in his parents' house and they accommodate him by keeping a kosher kitchen. Rav Moshe holds you're allowed to rely on their kashrus because they wouldn't do anything to hurt you. They're only trying to help you. So do you have to worry about all the pots and pans that are used on Shabbos? This is a little bit reminiscent of the Machlokas Rishonim that comes up on the page of Shulchan Aruch about Bishul Akum. That is Machlokas Rishonim, where the Bishul Akum traifs up the Kalim. So it's not really the same issue, because each issue has its own, the cases don't really parallel each other, each issue has its own factors and its own details. But I want to just go through this basic sugya and explain why this is not a problem. The basic sugya is, the Gemara appears in a number of places in Shas, but Bekama Ayin Aleph, Chulin Tazvav, Gittin Nun Gimel, three-way machlokas tanaim about Maisa Shabbos. Two of those three opinions are relevant la'alacha, so we'll only mention two of them. There's a shita of Rabbi Meir, which is more mekel. Rabbi Meir says that if a Jew cooks bishogeg on Shabbos, mutter for everybody right away, including on Shabbos. But if a Jew cooks bimezid on Shabbos, says Rabbi Meir, it's usher for everybody on Shabbos, but as soon as Shabbos is over, mutter for everybody. The guy who cooked, other people, everyone's allowed to benefit from that food. Rabbi Yehuda, however, is more machmir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if a Jew cooks bishogeg on Shabbos, no one's allowed to use it on Shabbos, and Motzai Shabbos, everyone's allowed to use it. But if a Jew cooks bimezid on Shabbos, then it's usher for the guy who did the cooking forever. He's never allowed to eat that food, but other people are allowed to eat that food after Shabbos is over. How do we paskin halacha? Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Chesef Aleph paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, I'm a vashel b'Shabbos b'mezid, usher lo li'olam. It's usher for that person forever if he cooked on Shabbos b'mezid. And if he did it b'shogeg, then it's only usher for the rest of that day. And even for Acherim, it's usher for the rest of that day. Mishnah Berurah writes that b'makom mitzorech, you could be somech on the shita of Rabbi Meir, because the Gra paskens like that shita. Certainly, if he did it b'shogeg, you could be somech on the shita. But the simple, strict halacha is to follow the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that if a Jew cooks b'mezid on Shabbos, he is never allowed to benefit from that food. What does this have to do with Kalim? So there is a Tshuvas HaRashba in Simen Kuf Ayin Hey, Chelek Aleph, where the Rashba writes that when there is a Cholah Sheyesh Bo Sakana, and he needs someone to cook food for him, so you cook for him on Shabbos, the pot is still going to be kosher because you cooked Beheter. Comes along Magen Avraham and says, oh, because it's a Cholah Sheyesh Bo Sakana and you cooked Beheter, that's why the pot is going to be kosher. Mashma, that if you cooked Be'isser, then the pot's going to be treif, then the pot's not going to be kosher. And that Magen Avraham is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah straight out, that that the pot is going to be treif if a Jew cooks bimezid, not in a situation of a chola sheyesh bo sakana. The Magen Avraham is medayik, makes this diuk from the Rashba, and he says, you know, when you're cooking for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, so you're supposed to be doing the cooking. A Yisrael gadol, that's what Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav Ches if Yud Beis, that if you have an option of who could do the cooking for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, adraba, don't do it al yidei enu Yehudi, don't do it al yidei katan, do it al yidei Yisraelim gedolim, al yidei, you know, real full-fledged fully chayiv Jews. Rama has equivocates about that a little bit, but the bottom line is you did no iser in that case. But when someone actually does an iser, Mishaburus of Kandalid quotes from the Magen Avraham this diuk from the Rashba that the kelim are going to be treif. Now, what is the makom to be makel? Because there are a number of poskim that are makel on this. So the makom to be makel is, there are several makoms to be makel. The most fundamental one is, let's even assume that the diuk in the Rashba is correct, which the Ksav Sofer in Or Chaim Siman Nun is not sure about, and neither is the Torah Shabbos in Siman Shin Yuchas. But let's assume that diuk in the Rashba is correct. When a Jew cooks food b'mezid on Shabbos, he's the only one that's never allowed to eat that food. Everybody else is allowed to eat that food after Shabbos. You can't say that the pot is more chumer than the food. If a Jew cooks food in a pot on Shabbos, ein hachinami, the Rashba is correct, that pot might be usher for that Jew who did the cooking b'mezid forever. But guess what? Chances are that Jew is not asking any shilas. After all, he cooked b'mezid on Shabbos, so he's probably not asking too many shilas about it. The question is about, you're the Baal Tshuva living with the parents who are not from. You're the roommate who's living with the non-from roommate. So for you, it's mutter. La'acherim, it's mutter for sure. L'chara, there's no shayla whatsoever about that, and that ha'ara is made by the Elia Rabba, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Alev Simchav Alev, the Aruch HaShulchan. They all assume this way. The Ben Ishchai in Parshas Bo. The only case where this won't help is if, let's say, the person himself later decides to do tshuva. So does he need to kasher his kelim? So if he decides to become a Baal Tshuva, so now he may need to kasher his kelim, even if he only cooked kosher in those kelim. When does that ever happen? Usually a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, he's kashering his kelim anyway, because he wasn't keeping kosher until now. So let's say he was vegan. He was keeping 100% kosher up until that point, and now he becomes a Baal Tshuva, so midin, the Maitse Shabbos, he probably has to kasher his kelim. This argument is so compelling that it's very difficult to see another tzad, why there would be any tzad lahachmir whatsoever. So here's the tzad lahachmir. The Ksav Sofer in Siman Nun writes that if a Jew cooks regularly, all the time, he's just not concerned about it at all, he's not concerned about halacha at all, meaning he is a mumar, then the food is going to be asr forever for everybody. The Ksav Sofer is such a chumrah that more chumur than a Jew who cooks b'mezid on a one-off time, a Jew who's always cooking on Shabbos, the food is going to be asr forever for everybody, because we don't want you to be asking a Jew in the future to be cooking for you, so we have to take away any benefit that you can get from a Jew who's going to cook for you. You can't say, oh, he's never going to listen to me anyway because he's a Jew. He will listen to you. He does it all the time. However, if Tzvi Pesach Frank and Tshuvas Har Tzvi Siman Kuf Pei argues in this Ksav Sofer, and he says, you can't make up new gzeros. You know, the Prima Gadim is uncertain whether you need to wait B'kadei Sheyasu after Shabbos when a malach is performed by a mumar on Shabbos. But even the Prima Gadim never dreamt that everybody's going to be also forever from benefiting from that Maisa Shabbos. We don't assume that way. We don't assume like that Ksav Sofer, and therefore there's plenty of room to be makel. Rav Vadi Yosef and Liv Yaschein also points out that since it's a knas to begin with, the yisur to get an offer from Maisa Shabbos is only a knas, the entire knas may have only been made on the food and not on the pot. Meaning, maybe we don't pass like this Rashba. I know the Magen Avraham quoted it, and I know that the Mishnah Berurah quoted it, but it could be, says Rav Vadia, that we don't pass in that way. In fact, in Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, Chelek Beis in Kuf Tzadi Vav, Rav Sturmbach writes, Ra'isi B'Shem Hagon Rabbi Moshe Salavetchik Zatzal. Notable that Rav Sturmbach found the Torah through Yeshiva University. He said, I saw in the name of Rav Moshe Salavetchik Zatzal, Tshuva Lahatir Mishnei Taimim. He gives a heter for even the guy himself to benefit from the kelim, and one of them is that he was medayik from a Rambam, that the Rambam disagrees with the Rashba entirely, that it does not become a cheftza of machalas asuros, it doesn't trafe up your kelim, and therefore it's not going to be a problem at all. So therefore, I think the majority of poskim would be mekel, and the only time you'd have a shayla is when the person himself wants to become a Baal Tshuva and he wants to know, can he use his kelim? And even then, since it's only a knas, we could probably be mekel on the way that you kosher, that you kasher the kelim. You could probably do agala and a kli cheres for such a thing. You probably could do, because there are so many sniffim lahakel. Maybe we pass them like the gra. Anyway, there are a lot of sniffim lahakel. The case where Shurmuk was asked about was a factory that cooks on Shabbos, and they wanted ashkacha on the food that they're going to make in those same kelim on Monday. The factories, the modern factories, have to be working all the time. So it was a Jewish-owned factory. They produce one thing on Shabbos. They produce something else on Monday. They wanted, but it's in the same kelim, and they wanted ashkacha for what they make on Monday in that factory. So Shurmuk thought that it's mutter to give hashkacha in such a case, because it's only aser lahem. It's not aser la'achirin. And you could always mean it's sorry for the sheet of Red Meir, the sheet of the Vilna Gaon, you know, b'makom atzarech. So I think at the end of the day, it's not really so much of a practical shayla, because almost all, every time when someone cooks b'mezid on Shabbos in the kelim, they're not asking the shayla, and for everybody else, it's going to be mutter anyway. Okay, have a great day, everybody.